Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Since it's Wednesday, we're going to be reading something from 2010 today. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is part two of the Offbeat Oregon History version of the story of Rajneesh Puram and the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. It was first published on May 16th of 2010 under the headline Rajneesh Puram, Oregon's Red Scare featured dozens of Rolls Royces. One of the strangest episodes in Oregon history took place just a few dozen years ago when an East Indian guru bought a patch of the central Oregon high desert country. Many of us remember vividly the saga of the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. Although the Bhagwan said he was not a spiritual leader or a founder of a cult, he did apply for tax-exempt religious group status for his organization. He wasn't big on poverty. When his followers started buying him Rolls-Royce automobiles, he was happy to accept. By the end of his ride, he had at least 90 of them. While he'd been known in India as the sex guru, you'll remember, he quickly became known in his new home as the Rolls-Royce guru. Now, Central Oregon is a place where people tend to mind their own business, so one would expect the locals to react to a group of mystics buying one of the local ranches with not much more than a chuckle and a shake of the head. And that's how it was, at first. But as you may recall, the honeymoon for the Sannyasins, as his followers were called, was very short. It ended virtually the instant the Bhagwan's designated spokeswoman and number two, Mahanand Sheila, known prior to her joining of the cult as Sheila Silverman, started talking to the media. Sheila considered Oregon locals to be a bunch of ignorant, small-minded rednecks, and she never missed a chance to share that view. It didn't help matters much when the Bhagwan started staging road shows every day, driving one Rolls or another 70 miles from the ranch accompanied by security jeeps full of armed guards and buses of devotees, to get an ice cream soda, a strange menu selection for a diabetic man, in Madras, which he no doubt pronounced Madras. He would enjoy the soda in the car while the red-clad multitudes danced around the Rolls, celebrating the guru's snack in the noisy style of Westerners acting out their stereotypes of Eastern mysticism. Meanwhile, the newcomers were having trouble getting variances approved to build a big city on land zoned for exclusive farm use. So they bought a building in Antelope and moved a bunch of followers into it and ran four of them for city council. In desperation, the locals tried to disincorporate, but the red people were now voting members of the town, and there was only so much resistance that the town's 43 other registered voters could put up. The Rajneeshis won the election handily, and thus was begun what later became known locally as the, quote, invasion and occupation of the town. The new city council promptly renamed the town Rajneesh and made clothing optional in the city park. Then, of course, they got busy approving the variances they needed for property that was in city limits. Having tasted the cup of power, the commune now set its sights on bigger game. First, they incorporated their commune as a genuine municipality. So then they were controlling two towns, Antelope and Rajneesh Puram. Then they started trying to pack followers into the commune so that they might have a greater impact on Wasco County elections. To do this, Rajneesh leaders threw open the gates to the nation's homeless, paying bus fare for anyone who wanted to come to Rajneesh Puram for the, quote, Share a Home program. Free food, shelter, and clothing. It was a compelling idea for anyone shivering under a railroad bridge in February in Seattle or Oakland or Boston or wherever. However, to be eligible, the homeless people had to be adults. Homeless families were not brought in. Meanwhile, the Bhagwan's teachings had lurched wildly into weirdness, lending some actual credibility to his later claims that his voice had been co-opted by Sheila. Now he was predicting global thermonuclear holocaust by the mid-1990s and urging his followers to dig deep bunkers so they could survive it. By this time, Sheila had his power of attorney as well, and on the surface, it looked like she was managing it very well. By the end of 1984, despite the resentment and open enmity of almost everyone, the Bhagwan's followers seemed poised to take over Wasco County and build that shining Sannyasin city that the bearded one had always talked and dreamed about. But it was not to be. 2 years later, the Bhagwan was in exile, Sheila was in prison, Antelope was back in the hands of its citizens, and law enforcement officers were breathing a big sigh of relief. We'll talk about how that came to be in parts 3 and 4 of this series. Well, that is our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a series of live history shows, a Facebook page, and a couple of other minor components as well. YouTube channel, Tumblr blog, things like that. All of it is accessible through our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. Visual goodies and other resources that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story, as well as more than 250 other Offbeat Oregon history columns written over the past 5 years since I've been doing these. Like this podcast, those articles are covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon History for fun and to learn things. I don't ever want it to turn into something I dread, something like a J-O-B. So I don't sell advertising or ask for donations. But if you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to support it, you can always buy a copy of my book. If you enjoy this podcast, I can almost guarantee that you will like the book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and they're available at community bookstores. Or if you like, you can order a signed copy through the store link at offbeatoregon.com. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in the neighborhood near Oregon State University, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee in the library coffee shop and talk history. I'm Finn at offbeatoregon.com. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's Thursday morning. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.